You're listening to Go Fish with Mike Buck on AM 690, The Fishing Answer. This segment is being brought to you by the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council at wpcouncil.org. Now, troll on in.
Hey, you know, it's really cool when I get to say troll on in when I play that, because that's what we're going to do this time. You know me, I love the whole fishery, but I particularly love our pelagics. And if you were with us week before, you learned about some public scoping meetings that are coming up on the pelagic small boat fisheries. And this is really, really important. As we've explained many, many times since we originally started hooking up with the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council, I know, long word, is that they are a bottoms-up organization. And guess what? We're going to prove that to you today. Got a couple staffers who know about that. Both started down the rung, and they're both moving up at the speed of light. And more important than that is the message that you are the bottom and I am the bottom, and the up really needs us. And to that degree, we have these meetings coming up. And first of all, we're going to tell you what they're about, and then second of all, hopefully entice you to be in there. And one of the fisheries analysts who joins us on a regular basis and has for a number of years is Josh Jamello. And we also have Zach here with us. We'll tell you all about both of them as we continue. Zach Yamada, a newer member, but Josh has been around a long time. And I think, Josh, this is an opportunity for us really to prove to anybody, especially Doubting Thomas's, that you and the council really needs us guys to come up and stand up and be counted and help you, because the old deal, if you put rubbish into a computer, you're going to get rubbish back out. Is that accurate?
And really, people think that the council is only about longlining, but we're really about everybody, all the fishes,
right,
and
up
all the fishermen
everywhere.
Yeah. And so this is an opportunity for everyone to get involved, because it is everyone's fisheries. Yeah.
Well, one of the other things, and we can explain that, is that there is a tremendous amount of baton passing between inshore and offshore, because we've talked about this a million times. Fish have no clue what quadrant they're in. They're just there. You know, so if you're following the fish and it goes into the shallow water and you're a deep water guy, if you're catching pelagics inshore, your experience and your catch is important to know about.
Right, and one of the, not just pelagic species, but something like uku, which is actually a bottom fish, right, that likes to think it's a pelagic fish. So, you know, you can catch it trolling, you can catch it spear fishing, but it's one of those snappers that would be considered bottom fish.
Yeah, the deep seven. And, you know, we do a lot of stuff on that. But I think more importantly, to explain when we have the fishers forums and all of that stuff, most of the time that's to do with what the council is mostly responsible for, and that's the deep sea, you know. But this is really different. When you say a scoping meeting, Zach, you explained that, you know, the last time you're here. And by the way, I want you to properly trace back the steps that you used to get to where you are, because Josh's been around for a while. He came up kind of the same way you did. What was your first exposure to the council? How'd you end up there?
Oh, my first exposure to the council, I was actually introduced when I was in high school. I had a teacher actually tell me about this high school course that we had, yep, where the council was holding. And being that I was this boy from Maui, I was like, okay, well, now I got to figure out how I'm going to
Okay, let's give a little credit. Whose class was it?
This was Aaron Yoshioka's.
Yeah, we have him on because of Josh once a year. And I actually met people, not just like you, a neighbor island boy coming to Oahu, but we're learning to people who come from literally all over the far reaches of the council to turn back and give back into that. But when you first went to that school, high school, did you have any real idea that what was going to happen to you?
I had no idea. I just went in. I went in with an open mind, and I was ready for anything that was going to be thrown at me.
So, for those who don't know, what are you doing now? What's your job?
So now I am a fishery analyst for the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah, and Josh, in some respects, and we've talked about this a lot, especially when Aaron is here, isn't it sort of neat to be able to count the victories when you invest time and something into educating somebody, not just Zach, but even yourself? I mean, to turn it into a career is pretty cool.
Yeah, and especially when it's building capacity, you know, there's a lot of talk and papers coming out now that says Hawaii's experiencing the brain drain more than ever.
Yeah.
And so even, I think I read somewhere like half of Hawaii's keiki are now going off to college and not coming home.
Yeah, some of that can be that they don't have the opportunity to specialize or the desire or even the knowledge that, hey, listen, if you are from here and you get this, somebody's going to need you. You're needed.
Well, and part of it is those jobs that they are good at or get trained in aren't available in Hawaii. Yeah. So I think it's on all of us in Hawaii to make sure that there are jobs for our kids to come back to.
You know, and certainly that too. How long, for those who don't know, you've been with the council now how long?
This is my 18th year.
Yeah. And, you know, and Zach, you know, this is your, how long for you? First year?
18th day.
this is about my ninth day?
Yeah. No, but seriously, I mean, you know, it gets to a point where the proof is in the pudding. And so when Teach has his classes, that's not the goal. The goal is to provide alternatives and everything, but isn't it sort of neat? And have you stayed with some of those that were with you and some of them that have ended up in other parts of the fishery?
As far as it goes for the people in the class, a lot of them have gone their separate paths. There's a bunch of them that went to the mainland, some that are still here. You know, everybody's just figuring it out. Yeah. It was just not to toot my own horn, but I kind of knew where I wanted to go. Yeah. They are also figuring out their own way as well.
Yeah, but so it's kind of neat. Maybe you can just jump on this before we get into the actual meetings and what's going to happen. Is that what you're saying as a local boy from a neighbor island, like from the country, now you're meeting people that are really from the country. They're from thousands of miles away. Isn't it sort of interesting, the comparisons, when no matter where you live, we're all kind of the same?
Yeah. We're
That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah, we're all pretty much the same. We all have the same goals. It's just different ways we... When you're exposed to a different amount of people, you have different point of views as to how can we achieve that goal.
Okay, so let's find out. Today's get-together is to once again review these public scoping meetings on Hawaii's pelagic fish, and small boats particularly. And when we say small boats, Josh, we're pretty much talking about most of the boats here are small boats.
Right, basically non-longline. Non-longline.
Yeah, everybody except longlines here we're talking about. And that's a lot. Even though there are more boats per capita registered in Arizona than there are in Hawaii, it still is, we have people, and you can explain this better than anybody. There are people that don't consider themselves commercial fishermen because they're just fishermen, but they apply their catch to other things, whether it's feeding other people in the family or trading it for a tune-up on the car. Is these fish are commodities, and even though you don't think of yourself as a commercial kind of a guy, aren't you at least part-time commercial?
Yeah, under Magnuson Act, you are commercial if you sell one fish, or if you intend to put it into commerce through barter selling or trading. But I think our real problem is that we don't know the universe. Yeah. We don't know. We know that there's people that have commercial marine license, but they might have it because they might sell once in a while, but they may never fill out a catch report. Yeah. Just because they think they don't have to report it if they don't sell it.
I want to tell you, I go back to when the catch reports were a book with a piece of carbon paper that you put in between. Do you know what carbon paper is? What it is it used to be a way where you could write two things. So if you're going to write on the front page, you put a piece of carbon paper in facing down another page, and when you write, you got the copy. And so you keep one copy for yourself and you turn in one to catch report. Almost everybody, Josh, put on their catch report. No fishing, no fishing, no fishing.
And I'm sure there are folks that still do that.
Yeah, but at least now, and Zach, you can tell us, I mean, technology is made it so easy that even if grandpa's the fisherman, granddaughter or grandson can do the reports.
Yeah, we try to make it as easy as possible.
Yeah.
Try to make it as easy as possible and trying to make it user friendly at this point, and so you don't have to go through so many steps, that you can just log it and then push it through, and then it's
almost everybody is afraid of Big Brother removing our rights or our ability to go catch fish. And you know, when we talk about limits and licensing and all of that, here's one that came up, Josh, a long time ago, and I think I asked you this, but different audiences out there. Let's say that me and my friends, we go spear some kumu, you know, and we have the whole, you know, and then we take it to the Chinese restaurant and we give them two so that they cook two for us. You know, they make it the special spooky way, right? We don't know how to make it. But that was a transaction, wasn't it?
Yeah, well,
I mean, I'm giving you two fish, and then you're gonna, and two more you're gonna cook for me.
And basically it's a barter, right? A barter system.
It is, exactly. And the whole, we used to gravitate on that back in the day, right? Everybody did.
Yeah, yeah. Still okay. Do some places.
So explain, if you will, the concept of not just what a scoping meeting is, but once you decide you're going to do a scoping meeting, you got to go the whole way. You got to go everywhere, talk to everybody.
Right. And so public scoping, at this point, the initial public scoping process is to go out there and provide some background information on anything, really. And the whole point of public scoping is to get feedback and ideas, because eventually what will come out of this scoping sessions is a report back to the council saying, we went out and said, hey, people, this is our problem that we think might be happening. What do you think? How do you think we can solve it? And then the council will say, oh, those are great ideas, or that's not a great idea. And we'll direct the council to create an options paper and a way for the council to actually take action on those problems.
You know what I looked at this at, and I've heard feedback on this, and that is, why would you want somebody in Michigan making a decision about a fishery thousands of miles away from them, that part of the national picture? Wouldn't it be nice to know that person in Michigan would have a nice big fat report made possible by the fisherman that the rules he was making was going to affect?
Right. Yeah. And you know, we can sit in our office and not go out and come up with all the wild ideas that we want, but it doesn't mean that it'll actually work, or if they'll actually have buy-in from the fishermen.
Yeah. And by the way, gang, in a bit, we're going to tell you where these meetings are, what islands and what times and what dates. But I think more importantly is to get sort of a feeling. And Zach, since you've now been through some of these, and you guys are all going to be doing these as they come up, what is the format? When somebody says, I'm going to go to the scoping meeting, what do I expect when I get there?
So when you get there, we'll try our best to give refreshments, and then we'll give you, we'll sit everybody down, introduce us, tell everybody what the council is about and who we are. And we're going to give up background information on the small boat fisheries and some scenarios or some concerns that we have, and ask the community as to how can we approach these.
Yeah, so that being said, this series of scoping meetings, is the main goal is what?
The main goal from this public scoping meeting is to actually get feedback from the community and thus help us to develop these options from the community, and then get feedback as to what can we do to help you, because as far as it goes, any changes that we make affects everybody. And you as fishermen, you guys are the people bringing out the fish. Yeah. So, I mean, as for us in management, we want to do our best.
Maybe Josh, you can give us a couple of specific examples. I mean, okay, we're there. We have a committee. The panel has been introduced. We've got a lot of people, thank goodness, knock on wood, that are going to pay attention to what we're doing today and show up at these meetings. What expectations should they have? What should they be prepared to answer? What are some of these specific categories that you're going to cover?
So I think the first major one is data. And when we're talking to...
You're talking about catch data.
Right. Yeah. And when we're talking to the community, we hope that it's more than just the people that own a small boat. Really, kayak fishing is a big one, and they go 3 miles offshore, so they should come. And if the blue water divers are out there, they're out there shooting mahis and stuff, so they should come over too, because all of that really... With the data, it's like your bank account, right? You have a certain amount of funds in your bank account, and you're using your ATM card, you're using your debit card, you're writing checks, but how do you know how much you have left in your account? You balance your checkbook.
You got to balance your checkbook.
Yeah. Otherwise, you overdraw and you get penalized. Mm-hmm. And so the same thing with fisheries. If we don't know how many people are using their ATM card, because we're all, you have the same account, or writing how many checks, then we don't know how much is left. And that's a big, big deal when we're talking about pelagic species that are managed internationally.
I think that's why it's important to understand. This is not going to, we're not expecting people to be doing at this meeting for a TAC or making up their minds about anything, except learning the ins and outs. I got to tell you something anecdotally, which I think is pretty cool. I won't mention which buoy this is, but we like sometimes, me and my guys, we like to go by this buoy. We like to get there really early in the morning, get the first shot at whatever's hanging out there. And, you know, usually when you go by a buoy, if it's in an active area, you're going to catch a mai mai or an eye or something. You can catch, or a marlin or whatever. Last couple of times we went to this favorite buoy, guess what? There was a boat there already. And in the back of the boat, there was a dive float, a flag. Mm-hmm. And I thought, this is really cool. And then we saw this guy in a full wetsuit and long fins and everything. No scuba tank now. This guy was a free diver, and he had a really nice mai mai that he speared. And I thought, you know, this fish got to get counted. And who knows about these things? Like you just said, it doesn't matter whether it's a kayak or a stand-up or a jet ski or a dive boat. You know, there's a lot of people catching fish besides the pelagic trawlers.
And so these pelagic fishes are assessed internationally, yeah, because mm-hmm. because they move from place to place, yeah, and we don't really have our own stocks. You know, these the mahi mahi go all over the Pacific. Yeah. So when we're thinking about management, we have to think about where it is, yeah, who catches it, and so it's important to know how much we catch so that we make sure that when we go to the international arena, and if, yeah, they ever want to put a catch limit on mahi mahi, yeah, we can say, hey, wait a minute. You can't just look at the longliners catch, the bycatch from the longliners for mahi-mahi, because our small boats catch two million pounds. Yeah, you can't just give us a 500,000-pound quota or something.
Yeah, and that's really interesting for a couple of other reasons. And that is, you know, the method in which you catch these, something always comes up, and I don't know if either you can answer this, so you can just jump in, whoever it is. Somebody always said to me, how come you never see baby mahi-mahi? And it's not that you never see them, because I have, but they've been, it's usually by the time you see a mai mai, it's like cane knife size.
Right.
But they're smaller, right? And when they're small, they don't even look like mai mai. They have even a different shape to them.
Yeah, and it could be that their nursery areas are somewhere else. It could be South America or something. We don't really, well, I guess someone knows. I don't know.
Yeah. But, you know, but there is an example. And I think maybe that's another area, Zach, where there might be some confusion. For those that don't know, I mean, a lot of people think pelagic is the T-shirt that you get at POP because it says pelagic on it, right? What is a pelagic game fish? What is that?
A pelagic fish or a pelagic game fish is fish that pretty much reside in waters 3 miles out from shoreline, 3 to 200. Well, that's our jurisdiction. Yeah. So that includes mahi-mahi, ono, marlin, all of our billfish, swordfish, pretty much all these big fish. But then the hard thing is a lot of these fish inshore, also, like Josh said earlier, a lot of these fish, they don't know where they're going, so they're going wherever they want. Mm-hmm. But for as far as it goes, those are our primary big game fish. Yeah?
And by the way, and this is something that Josh, you and I have talked about this many times over the years, and that is these, we now pretty much believe, and there's pretty much science to suggest that we have local ahi, and many are thinking that we probably have some local big eye as well. So it doesn't mean that all of these fish are coming from the Japan current or the Russian current. Some of these are home, are right here from home, and that means that a lot of them are between, you know, 3 miles and 200 miles. There's a big, huge supply of this fish out there, and isn't that some of the answers, some of the things you want to learn from people?
Oh, definitely, and you bring up the good point about yellowfin tuna, ahi. We may have our own stock. It's kind of on the fence, you know, right now. Yeah. But just to know that, you need to know who's catching and at what sizes, because right now you have a state minimum size for sale at 3 pounds. Mm-hmm. Is that the correct size? Mm-hmm. Or what size does it need to be to ensure that we always have our stock around?
Well, the argument is for the 3 pounders, it's a lot easier to catch them. I mean, you go out to a buoy, you go out where there's you know, a lot of small ones, it's easy to keep catching. But that means that little 3 pounder that you just caught doesn't grow up and have babies.
Right. You know? Right. And so we don't even know that it's caught if you're not reporting.
Yeah.
If you're not a commercial guy, it's not in the records. It may get captured in the Hawaii Marine Recreational Fishing Survey, but that just means you have to come in when they are working.
Yeah, is that exact some of the misgivings that some of the people that would show up at a meeting, they'd say, wait a minute, I don't know if I want to share some of these things with you, man, because then aren't you going to tell me I can't catch 3-pound CB anymore?
Well, that doesn't mean that, because then it could lead to some other implications. But yeah, as far as it goes, we want to make sure we have enough data to understand exactly what's going on.
Yeah. But the data from the scoping meetings is different from stock assessment data, right? I mean, in what you're talking about is catching rather than assessing how many there are.
Right. So with stock assessments, you're looking at everything from the age, the growth, the movement. Yeah. You're looking at the catch and particularly the effort, how much effort's being put into the fishery to catch that 1 pound of fish.
I wish we could spend a little more time explaining to people what this effort is, because it's rather new in the fishery. I mean, I do know it's been used in a lot of other areas, but if someone were to say to you, Zach, I keep hearing this thing, effort, what's that?
Effort is pretty much how it was explained to me, because I mean, I'm still, I have a general idea. Effort is pretty much the amount of time that you put your line wet. Mm-hmm. And then that's the amount of effort that you're trying to go out and actively go for fish. So say, for instance, we have a lot of fish and a lot of fishermen in the small boat fishery that actually have, they have multi-gear. Mm-hmm. So like say, for instance, when I go fishing with my dad, right? When we go out to our spot to go bottom fishing, we set out, we have our trolling poles up, mm-hmm. and we go trolling out. And then when we're at the spot,
pack down the trolling, drop the line. Yeah,
put it away, mm-hmm. and then we grab our other pole and reel, and then we start bottom fishing. So we have different, we have, how do you get guys to report different types of gear throughout the trip?
And that was just when I first learned about it through you a couple of years back, to try to explain it to the audience. If you think that you go, say, to a buoy to catch your eye or your mai or whatever, the time that you travel to there is not part of the effort.
Unless you're dragging a line while you're
there
going.
There you go. Now that differentiates. Okay, so now I'm using multiple gears. Like Zach just said, when we get out to the buoy or to the grounds, we roll in those lures because we're gonna drop lines down to catch the fish that are, 20, 30, 50, or 100 fathoms deep.
Right, yeah. Right. And so with pelagic fish, they're also, they live in the open ocean, mm-hmm. and they're highly migratory, meaning they go all over the place. And so it's even more important to know what our effort is in the small boat fishery and the longline mm-hmm. fishery and whatever other fishery, because we have to add that to what the effort is that Japan is using to catch the same species in South America.
And let me tell you, and their rules and their regs and their catching is a little bit different from ours. We're continually fighting for our little place in the sun, but at least around the main Hawaiian islands, we don't have a lot of people coming into that part of the fishery. The 3 mile inside the 200 in many areas, we don't have too many people fishing.
Right. Well, we don't know. I mean, we know we can tell by the commercial, but how many are non-commercial that don't have CML, that don't report? And mm-hmm. so what we'll show at the scoping sessions are maps that show the effort, mm-hmm. Where people are fishing. And you'll see that a lot of the fishing occurs outside of three miles, out to 200 miles.
And I bet that's handy, good information that the fishermen turn around and they get as being a part of these scoping meetings. They're going to walk away with, I don't want to say parting gifts, but certainly a lot of info that they maybe didn't know about.
Right. Yeah. And hopefully people start to understand that, hey, what we're doing here in Hilo has an effect of what's going on in Kona and Maui and Oahu and Kauai as well.
Okay, this show that we taped earlier to run here on the 25th is just a couple of days before some of these meetings. So let's talk about this, because we have Oahu, Kona, Hilo, Maui, Kauai, and then on Oahu. Let's talk about that. So and also, if you don't get it now because you're driving, you're fishing, or wherever you are, you can go to wpcouncil.org. wpcouncil.org and check on this. How would they do that? If they want to go online and see a little bit more about these meetings, how are they going to click through, Zach? Josh?
You're exactly right. You can go to wpcouncil.org / Hawaii small boat fishery.
There you go.
That'll take you directly to the page, but you should be able to get from the main site as well.
Okay, but I want some of you that are in a place where you can save the date. Let's talk, Zach. Get your little list out and let's review where these are going to be, what time they're going to be, and all of that.
Okay, so we're going to have a pretty much we're going to start on Oahu and then end on Oahu. So our first meeting will be on Tuesday, February 4th at Washington Middle School at 6 p.m. And then our next one will be in Kona on Wednesday, February 5th at the West Hawaii Civic Center, Building G.
That's in Kona, by the way.
Yeah. In Kona. And then we're going to go to the other side of the island. We're going to go from west to east on the Big Island. We're going to go to Hilo on February 6th to Aunt Sally Kaleohano's Luau Hale at 6 p.m. And then on the following week, on Monday, February 10th, we're going to have our public scoping meeting on Maui at Lekai Elementary School cafeteria. The next day, February 11th, on Kauai in Lihue, we'll have it at Chiefess Makahele Middle School. And then we're going to finish it all up at on Thursday, February 13th at Ben Parker Elementary School in Kaneohe.
Okay, so that, like I said, that list is also available at wpconsul.org. Talk about the compliment that Josh, who travels to do this? Who are some of the folks that are going to be on the panel?
Oh, so it'll be staff. So it'll be
you guys to begin with,
right? It'll be Zach and myself, but we'll also have our colleague Dr. Mark Fitchett there to give us a background on pelagic fisheries in Hawaii and the small boat fisheries, and then Zach and I will take over for providing some of that management scenarios on why we think we need to collect information. And then we'll also have our advisory panel chair and our Hawaii advisory panel vice chair there to talk about the council process and let people know.
Yeah, and obviously when people at this meeting have questions, even if they're not really on point, it doesn't really matter. But what I do think it shows is not just the commitment that you guys make to go out and do this, but what is the end use of this? So let's say that we get there, and obviously there are going to be a few subjects come up that you're not even, it's not on your agenda, but a fisherman's going to come. What do you want the takeaway to be? Why are we putting forth all this effort to get out there and reach out to all these folks?
I think it's because, you know, we're not in the community as much as we should be. I mean, we're really busy, and we should be scoping more and more because the fisheries are dynamic. So while we're out there, I encourage people to come talk to us about everything and anything.
Yeah,
I mean, you can come and yell at us about monk seals if you want. Yeah, we may not have the answers, but we can get the answers for you if it's available.
What I think is, for me, every single one of these get-togethers that I've been to since we've been doing this stuff together, I'm constantly amazed that, number one, the increasing number of people that seem to be willing to share their manao. I know it was a lot more difficult before. A lot of people think, no, these guys, they just want to stop me from fishing. And I think, and maybe Zach, you're the new blood in this, that it's actually the opposite. We want to encourage people to catch fish, but do we want them to sort of know when they're catching and maybe when they should be catching different fish. Maybe sometime, like you said, you know, you troll all the time. Or like you, when you take your family boat out, you guys are going to go bottom. Sometimes forget about bottom, go trolling, and sometimes vice versa.
Yeah, vice versa. I mean, when the fish are biting, you're gonna go and chase the fish. You know, last thing
they don't check in; they just happen, right?
Yeah, last thing you want to do is be seasick and be all sick, and you got to go in with no fish. So I mean, chase the fish. And as far as it goes, we want to keep the fishery alive as well. And
And this is happening now. Josh re-explained that early part of the year, because everything sort of handles on different things. Whenever you're working with government agencies, there's always calendars and all that stuff. So obviously what you're going to be doing is, are you going to be explaining and revealing some of the stock assessments for people that want to know about them at these meetings?
If we have information I think the more important takeaway is that we are out there. Come talk to us. Let us know what you think, because there's a bunch of other issues that we're going to talk about, including protected species, socioeconomic issues, cultural issues, sector problems that happen between the recreational and the commercial guys, or the long line versus not the non long line guys.
Yeah, see, so that's a big myriad of stuff, and I want to tell you, Ever since we've been doing this, it has been very, very impressed with the amount of work now being done on the website. You can really get a lot more information, including our archive shows and a lot of other stuff. So I hope you've made made some plans to be around at one of these meetings. Remember, they start on Tuesday, February 1st, and they go through the 13th. You go to wpcouncil.org and check that out. And I guess maybe one of the other reasons is that Josh and Zach got to know, okay, I guess I got to bring clean shirts. I got to, you know, I'm going to be around, traveling around for all that time. Thanks, guys. We'll see you next time.
Yeah, Mahomes.
And I'm going to continue to remind you what you can expect and what you can do. In the meantime, if you want to hear something on the program, whether it's this segment or others, you know what to do. Drop me a line. TheMikeBuckShow@gmail.com. TheMikeBuckShow@gmail.com. Hey, see you at one of these meetings. It's a public scoping on the pelagic small boats. That's all of us. So go to wpcouncil.org and check it out. See you next time.